Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to, help those dreams. Help those dreams come true. That's what we want to have happen on this program. And we do come your way to do that dreamily. Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. And it's, if it were 7 a.m. and I were doing the programs absolutely live, I would be in a haze, as well as 7 p.m. or even 1 a.m. Monday morning. But we also stream live at those times for the radio broadcast at richarddugan.com. Podcasts are at the radio show's page of richarddugan.com, as well as SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. What else? I also have the player up on the radio show's the homepage, I should say, of richarddugan.com. So we encourage you to go to those places. We will also be linked to our guest's website, and we hope that you will avail yourself of that information. Again, as we've said over and over a few times over the last 11 and a half years, probably every program, please continue your evolutionary process by going to these websites and getting the information that will help you to move forward in your life. That is what it's all about. Because life, the life of your dreams is waiting for you. We're here to help bring your dreams to fruition, to help you to create your dream life now. That's the title of the book, A Workbook and Guide for Manifesting Your Destiny. It's not manifest destiny, although I don't know, maybe it is. My guest will be joining us to share with us about that. Darren Mark, thank you so much for joining us. Are we talking about manifest destiny?
We are not talking about manifest destiny, but we could be if you'd like to.
No. It's just a play on words there. This is interesting because, again, we are really, really trying in our individual lives to find those ways that will help us, support us to move forward in our lives, especially when we start considering all of the wonderful obstacles that are out there that are preventing us from doing that. Or maybe I should rephrase that. They're not preventing us. We are allowing them to get in our way. And some would even say that we are getting in our own way in that respect.
Well said. So I love that you used the word wonderful obstacles.
Well, and see, that's what's interesting is, and we've been talking more and more about this on many of the programs, about how, I'm struggling with this whole concept of dualism. And it's like, yep. I'm tired of the dualism. Enough already. Yep. I'm tired of the struggle, the challenge, the all of that. I want to get to a place where I've got some equanimity, some equilibrium. Yep. So somebody said to me when I shared with them the story of the business that I started in 1994. I had the business for 1 year. I was a sole proprietor. I went to file my taxes. I didn't know anything about what you had to do and this and that and the other thing. I owed the IRS for that year $3,000. I had never owed the IRS that much, but it was only because I chose to file my taxes for that business. So I said, I'm shutting the business down. I'm not going to do it like this ever again until I have the team around me, like a CPA, and then they are going to make sure that I am covered. They're going to make sure that I've got all my I's dotted and T's crossed, and that I don't end up at the end of the year, not just with a massive bill, but that all of these issues are taken care of throughout the year so that we don't have to deal with this kind of stuff.
Of course, yeah.
But we've got to
be surrounded by good people.
Exactly. And that's a key as well, which we will get into. Tell me about this wonderful little, and this is very, I like this. It's almost a children's book, the way it's designed, and I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, interestingly enough is that a couple of other people have commented that the book is very well suited for kids and teenagers, and that was not on my mind while I was writing it, but because of the artwork and the simplicity of the message, I do think that it is well suited for kids and teenagers, and that they could digest it quite easily.
Well, I think the real key is the fact that each one of us as adults has that kid within us, that child within us.
For sure. I've been trying to unleash my inner child.
Oh, and that's certainly
one of my intentions in life right now is just to have more fun.
Well, you know, I like, of course, one page here. I'm looking at the four attitudes in reference to they're an ancient set of principles, and they are that I praise the divine for my life. I thank the divine for my body. The divine loves me, and Om Shanti, which wonderful little phrase there. And I actually do that with my parents. I might put them a little bit below the divine, although they have the divine within them. So it's kind of like the Baha'is say, if you acknowledge and accept one of the messengers of God, you accept them all. If you reject one, you reject them all. So I accept my parents as messengers of God, and I thank them for my life. It's like they're in their 80s, mid-late 80s, and I know one day, could be 10, 15 years down the road, they will transition to the next life, and their will is already made out, and I already know what I'm getting, and, you know, that's fine, but it's like, you know, if you left me nothing, it would be okay, because, hey, you've already given me more than I could ever repay. Not just my life. But I will quote my father from time to time on this program, the lessons he's taught me, the things that my mother has taught me, and just growing up in this large family that I had. So that I've had a pretty good start. But when you talk about the book, of course, the title itself is Create Your Dream Life Now.
Right.
Where does the person start who says, yeah, I would love that? I said this to Jacques Fresco when he shared with me his vision for the future as a visionary and a futurist. I says, I want it now. He says, well, probably won't happen. Can I have it now? Darren, can I have it now?
well, Richard, I can tell you what you can have now and what I believe most every reader of the book and every person out there in the universe can have now, which is a deeper connection to the peace that is within them. And from my own experience, I feel really strongly that when we devote ourselves to discovering that and we make that our number one priority, and perhaps you've experienced this as well, that everything else begins to flow harmoniously for us. So My philosophy these days, and part of the philosophy that I did my best to share in the book, is rather than just attacking the world in the sense of really going after our goals in life, I believe that it's incredibly important to first and foremost go within, and that once we discover the peace and the love that's within ourselves, then we can go out into the world and create what it is we want to create in terms of our dream, so to speak.
Our attitude is huge. It makes the biggest difference. I was sharing in a previous interview the comparison between someone in a kitchen cooking, and I've spent years now searching for the tamale. My grandmother on my mother's side used to make them all the time, especially around the holidays. And they were incredible. We would eat them out of the refrigerator cold, and they were fantastic, right?
Yeah.
I've come close a few times, very close, but not quite there, right?
Right.
And I said, well, you know, the reason why you're never going to find your grandmother's tamales is because it was the love your grandmother put into them that made the difference. So intent, because that was where she was at, and her intent was putting the love into it to share with the family, her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, and so forth. So when we start thinking about creating the dream that we want, the dream life we want right now, how do we shift out of? Do you have any techniques or special mantras or sitting positions or what have you that will help us to shift out of the feelings of that we are so easily drawn into many times of the outward world, you know, what you hear on the news and the radio and the newspapers and all that kind of stuff, or just stuff that's going on in your town or what have you, sure, to start shifting that attitude to creating that dream life?
Yeah, this is such a great conversation, because you were speaking about the food your grandmother cooked and wanting to cook something just as good as she did. And I think the trap that we can so easily fall into is looking at what other people are doing in the world and saying to ourselves, oh, I want to be doing exactly that. I want to be creating exactly that. I want to be experiencing exactly that. And I think the cure for that is just to really tune in to what it is we each have to individually and uniquely offer the world in the present moment, and really allow that to carry us forward, because I believe we all have very unique gifts that we're here to share. So, for example, maybe you couldn't cook the tamale that your grandmother cooked, but you might be able to cook something else that's incredible. And if you were focused on that rather than trying to duplicate the tamale, right, you could make something wonderful. So I think it's so important to just tune into our own creativity, to our own uniqueness in the present moment, and to really allow ourselves to move forward from that space within ourselves, as opposed to kind of looking out and saying, oh, look at what that person is doing, I want to do that. Does that resonate with you, Richard?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, I sometimes wonder if, and again, using the cooking analogy, if someone who has done that with a particular dish is sharing it with family and saying, well, how is it? And maybe it's the first time they've ever cooked it.
Right.
And even the taster, they think that it tastes really good.
Yeah.
But it's not quite there. And I mean, even the person, and maybe the person cooking it, a little critical of self, you know, and we get that way, certainly. But the reality is that, you know, it does need a little tweaking. But
sure.
The tasters who are connected to the cooker, or the chef, what have you, they want to be supportive, but they also want to be honest. But at the same time, they're experiencing that energy through that food from that person, and it does. They like it. Okay?
Yeah.
And so they really don't have any real criticism to offer per se. And so it's almost as if, okay, you've got to get some impartial people in here to help you out in that regard. And speaking of gifts, I have to tell you that your illustrator, Joan Coleman, also very gifted with this particular style. It's awesome. It really is, folks.
You're not going to believe how I found her, Richard.
Let me guess. I went to Craigslist. How did you find her?
Believe it or not, you hit the nail on the head.
No.
I swear to the universe, I found her on Craigslist.
Unbelievable. Well, you know, I have to tell you, it's amazing the things you can find.
It is. You can find everything on Craigslist. As I was writing the text for the book, I had the thought that the illustrations were incredibly important, and that I would only want to submit the text to publishers with the illustrations complete. And at that particular time, I didn't know of any illustrators. And so I spontaneously posted on Craigslist, and I got, a lot of replies. And this one particular one replied, and her work was just exactly the right match for the book. And the rest is history.
Oh.
And it was meant to be. So you never know. This is the thing about the universe, right? As you know, you never know how things are going to come into fruition. You know, so what I like to do is I like to have my intentions, and I like to let the universe work its magic so that I have pleasant surprises like that.
You know, that's interesting you bring that up. I was going to touch upon this real quick, that you don't have to say yes to everything that is offered to you in life. Every time you say no to something that's not part of your highest vision, you create the space for what you do want to come into your life.
Yeah.
Now, here's the interesting thing. You talk about that along with what's on the opposite page, synchronicity, and what actually comes before that. We're on our path. We're rolling right along. We're moving forward, doing the stuff that we love to do. And then all of a sudden, and I'm going to use a personal example. What was it? The 7th of November, 11/7/18, around 8 o'clock in the morning, local time, I was involved in a little incident with my car.
Okay.
And I was traveling down a road at the appropriate rate of speed, and all of a sudden this gentleman pulls head first out into the street as I'm coming down the road. And I start to brake and swerve to the left to avoid him, and unfortunately I wasn't able to.
Okay.
My car was totaled. Now, it wasn't damaged that severely, but because the insurance company, they made whatever comments they did, you know, and the way it was hit, it's possible it dented the frame, which obviously, and then the car is a 2007. So when you do the Kelley Blue Book, you know, it could cost more than what it is worth.
Right.
So go to the insurance company, go through that whole thing, go to the rental car company, and they all they had was a truck, F-150, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, the wife and I, we've been talking about that. So we're being given the opportunity of experiencing what it's like to drive a truck,
wow,
which we've never owned before, and yep, I've never driven before, but I have now. Because we want to get a travel trailer and be able to go traveling, camping, even get a large enough one that we could even live in if we wanted to,
mm-hmm,
and so on and so forth. So here I am in this incident, this vehicle incident. I was not injured. At least I haven't experienced any residuals since then that I'm aware of. And
right,
the other gentleman who was deemed at fault by the officer. Matter of fact, one gentleman came by and said, you know, this gentleman who you hit, he could have been doing 100 miles an hour down this street. You still would have been in the wrong. It still would have been your fault.
Right.
Anyway, so now we're being given this opportunity to do this. So it's like, all right, if the car's totaled,
yeah,
all right, we'll deal with the insurance. We'll deal with the loan on the car, blah, blah, blah. And then we're going to go buy a truck.
Richard, I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
When that happened, the moment in which you had that accident, and even within the few days after it, did you catch your ego complaining about it and saying, why did this happen? Oh, my God, this sucks, that kind of thing?
You know, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. Okay,
actually, good. I actually didn't. Let me put it this way. I was frustrated only from the standpoint initially, and this was maybe in the first 10, 15 seconds. Great. Now I have an interview at 8:30. It's 8 o'clock. I have an interview at 8:30. I know I'm going to miss it. It's actually the second time I've missed this interview with this specific guest. Okay. All right. So, and by the way, my philosophy in that regard is that means that interview is going to be awesome. Okay. Just like this one.
Yeah.
But that's what the universe tells me. If you get delayed and delayed and delayed in an interview, don't worry about it because it's going to be great once it happens. But that was probably the only thing I thought of. Then, of course, I wanted to make sure that he was okay. He was fine. Okay. But then he started blaming me. You were going too fast. You were going. It's like, no, I wasn't. So anyway, I also started to process and work through the emotions very quickly. Right there, prior, you know, right before the police officer, right? I was shaken up, no question.
Right.
But I calmed down rather fast because I began to see certain things unfolding. I mean, I was hoping that the car could be repaired and when we move forward, blah, blah, blah. But I never thought that they would declare it a total loss.
Yeah.
That then opens up another door that we've been wanting to go down. And it's like, this speaks to what you were saying. You don't know what doorways are going to be opened for you. And the universe opened this doorway through this incident. And I believe that only because neither person, human being, was injured.
Right.
All right. The vehicles, that's stuff. That's just stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And the reason why I asked that question is because I'm sure you experienced this because you're on a spiritual journey, is that the ego, the mind, can be so quick to react to circumstances in our lives and to judge the circumstance as being a bad circumstance, but you never really know, sometimes until months or even years in the future, why it happened. And so I think as we all progress on a spiritual journey, there has to be this level of faith and trust and bypassing the ego and just staying in this space of peace and love and faith and trust. And when we do that, I think the roller coaster ride of life smooths out a little bit.
You know, I've shared the story of how we ended up in Santa Barbara back in 2006. And in 2005, the station that I was working for in Phoenix was bought And they were telling us, no, everybody's going to stay. We're going to keep the same format. Well, February 28th of 2006, they let everybody go, and they changed the format. The day after that, my wife, who had started a new job about 2 months earlier, called me up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and said, I just quit my job. You know, and I'm going, you do know I'm unemployed too, right? And so we're moving forward in that. And that evening we're sitting there watching TV and she says, I'm scared. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know exactly why, but something inside of me was very calm, peaceful. I says, well, you know, all the stuff I've read, the interviews I've done, et cetera, tell me in these situations, you do two things, you jump and you trust. And that's what we did.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, here I am in 2018. I'm talking with you, Darren Mark, talking about your book, Create Your Dream Life Now. I mean, it's, you know, who knew? Who knew that 12 years later, this is where I would be sitting? And I've always wanted to live by the ocean. I didn't think it was going to be Santa Barbara. I didn't know where it was going to be. All I know is I needed to get here.
And not only that, but I just moved here to Santa Barbara as well about a month and a half ago.
No.
Yeah.
May I ask, without revealing too much here to our audience, whereabouts in Santa Barbara are you?
Yeah, so I am fairly close to Cottage Hospital.
Unbelievable, because my wife...
I don't plan on going there anytime soon.
No, me neither. The wife works at Sansom Clinic across the street from Cottage Hospital.
All right, maybe I've passed her on the street.
You know, we might even get together for coffee now that you're right here. Should have had you in studio. As a matter of fact, the next time we do this, you're going to be here in studio, okay?
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Yep.
We are going to continue our interview here with Darren Mark, and his book is entitled Create Your Dream Life Now. It is a workbook as well as a guide for manifesting your destiny. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, and we want you to keep dreaming and stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan with Darren Mark, and we are talking about wonderful dreams that can and do come true. You know, it's funny. My father told me years ago, as I was, I don't know if it was after college or exactly what it was, he says, find a job you love doing because you're going to be doing it a long time. I don't want you to get stuck like me. Now, my dad at the time might have felt like he was stuck, but he really wasn't, because he went to junior college in the 70s, got his computer programming degree, and he moved on to other work and so forth. He was actually very helpful at the company he was at as they transitioned from the printing press, where you had to manually load the type, which I learned how to do in a vocational course in high school. You got to load it upside down and backwards and know how to read it, too. So I've been fortunate, Darren, that I'd like to think, for me anyway, I've been in the right place at the right time most all of my life, including, strangely enough, that accident, that car incident that I described in the last segment.
Aren't those the best moments in life?
When you can recognize them.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And by the way, just let our listeners know that I did not leave that scene unresolved. I actually, as the officer was still there, I wanted to make sure I did this in front of the officer. I walked up to the gentleman who was standing with his arms crossed in front of him as the officer was sharing. And I reached out my hand to shake his, which he shook mine. And I said, I'm just glad that the two of us are okay. Now go out and make it a better day, because I'm going to. And then he laughed, he relaxed a little bit. And because, like you live here, I'm going to run into you one of these days. I'm going to run into him again possibly one of these days here. Not literally, of course.
Right.
You know, but we live in the same community. So why create all that angst and so forth?
Yeah, we're all here to make the world a better place.
Exactly. But you've created something in this book here that is really kind of cool. And what I want you to do is share with us a little bit about your beginnings that have taken you down this path to create this little book and the website and all the fun things. How did this all start? Or did you just come out of the womb saying, ha ha, let's do this?
Definitely not. If I were to trace my steps back, I would say there was a time in my life, and to be honest, it's not that far in the past when I would be thinking at a million miles an hour 100% of the time, and just constantly reacting to the circumstances in my life. And then I discovered yoga, hatha yoga, the physical practice of yoga, and that helped me to still my mind. And then I became more devoted to my meditation practice, and that allowed me to still my mind even more. And around the same time, I discovered the practice of bhakti yoga, which is associated with the path of love and devotion, and singing kirtan, praising different aspects of the divine. And that particular practice allowed me to access my heart in a new, deeper way. And so I would say it's been a long journey of moving from my head into my heart, into a space of stillness. And I feel like it's from that space of stillness within our hearts, that we can actually begin to create whatever it is we want to create in our lives. So we always have to be present. We always have to be at peace, at ease, and in our hearts. And if we're there, then we have the power to start to create and to shape and mold.
Well, I know that a lot of people have a lot of trouble with both yoga as well as meditation.
Yep.
And I'm one of them. I'm not as flexible as I used to be, being 58 now. The mind is still very flexible. It's 17. Yeah. Okay.
But real quick, Richard.
Yes.
My dad is in his late 70s, and I was at my parents' house fairly recently, and my dad was talking about yoga, and he said, "Look, Darren, I could never practice yoga." And he bent over. He said, "I can't even touch my toes." And I said, "Well, Dad, all you got to do is bend your knees. Then you can touch them." He says, "Oh, you're right."
Well, I will tell you that I've sort of taken this line from, I believe it was Teresa of Avila, who said that God is amongst the pots and the pans. So even if I may not meditate actively and intentionally, I like to think that I'm doing that when I'm doing the work that I love to do.
That's such a great, great, great observation. Yeah.
So when you are you teaching people some various techniques that you have learned that have worked for you?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I found that mantra meditation is a really useful tool. The truth of the matter is, a lot of people, perhaps yourself, even me sometimes, will sit down with the intention of doing a mindfulness of breath meditation, meaning just observing the breath, and it's challenging. And mantra meditation, which is the silent repetition of a mantra, can be really beneficial, a really great tool for helping to still the mind, from my experience. So that's one tool that I like to offer people. It's kind of like I like to think of mantra meditation as kind of like a riverboat. You hop on into the mantra, and it takes you across the mind until you get to a place of stillness.
I know that early on when I was learning about meditation, and they always talked about quieting the mind.
Yeah.
And as I began to learn more and more about that concept, someone actually described it this way, that it is not actually, you don't want to shut it off. You don't want to say, go away.
Right, yeah.
You actually want to address the mind and say, would you mind just for 5 minutes, 10, whatever, 15, 20 minutes, would you mind just, turning the volume way down, okay, and I'm going to do this over here. I need you. You're important to me. I can't function without you, but right now I need to be doing this. So could we make an agreement and just, try to establish some kind of a friendship here so that I can do this so often, and then I'll come back to you, and then we'll get together, and we'll collaborate, and we'll do some great stuff.
Yeah, kind of like something I used to say to my yoga students. I would say, don't worry, you can pick up your thoughts after class if you still want them, but for the next hour, do your best to put them aside. Yeah,
I love that. My first general manager at the first station I ever worked for always used to tell me when we would sit down to do something, and of course she noticed that every so often, because I was still new at what we were doing, I'd get really anxious and I'd start to panic. And she said, okay, Here's what I want you to do. The next time you feel like panicking in a situation, I want you to hold on. Don't panic. Don't let it go, but don't panic. Resolve whatever the situation is you're working on. And when it's taken care of, you can go over in the corner and you have a little panic party.
There you go.
Yeah, she wasn't saying don't panic. Just hold off. So let it know that, hey, I'll come back to you.
Yeah. And I think it's really important for listeners and anybody who is newer to a meditation practice to understand that the goal of meditation is not to not think, but rather it's simply to do your best to stay with your breath or your mantra and to be aware of if and when thoughts arise, and just to, so you can begin to notice thoughts for what they are, which are thoughts that are coming and going like clouds. And eventually with a daily meditation practice, what you find is that simply by being aware of your breath or silently repeating your mantra, what you find is that you find more and more space between those thoughts, between those clouds that are passing by. And let's say you still your mind and you access your heart from my personal experience. Mm.
Tell me about why I am, pardon me, affirmations are so important.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'll start by saying this. Wayne Dyer, who I think was a great spiritual teacher, turned me on to I am affirmations. And of course, the creator cannot be labeled or named, but it's said that one name for God or creator is I am. And so when we state an I am affirmation, we're actually acknowledging the spark of God or the God presence that is within ourselves. And that's incredibly powerful. But I really think that, you know, an I am affirmation, it doesn't serve much of a purpose if it's coming from our small minds and we don't really believe it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if we can meditate and still our minds and access our hearts, you know, then that I am affirmation becomes more of a statement of truth that really resonates with our inner being. And then it becomes a really powerful, truthful statement. Mm. That's from my experience.
So to the next step I would like for you to talk about in that context is the power of words. How important are grabbing that particular philosophical point?
Well, I can tell you this. The older I get, the more important I think it is to really express myself clearly, and more importantly, to express myself from a space of love and compassion. Words are so powerful. And I just know myself, it feels so good to be spoken to out of love. I'm just thinking of an email that I received yesterday from a mentor of mine. And the last three words were, I love you, Darren. That's four words. No, three words. I love you. Just those three words. And it just made me feel so good to read those three simple words. So I think it's so incredibly important that we just let other people know that we love them and that we care about them. So I think words are incredibly powerful and healing. And to really see each other, to see the God presence that's within each other, that's really powerful. I can tell you this, I see a lot of Reiki clients. And very often people will come in, of course, and they might be suffering and they have their stories and they're experiencing this or that. And I really do my best just to see the godliness in them and to reflect that back to them. And that's incredibly healing.
Well, I talk about it a lot on this program, and that is the power of prayer, or not the power of prayer, the power of words. And in that, we also talk about, you know, because this is tied right in there, is the intent. And I use the example of politics. you know, someone running for a public office. And that, you know, I used to get all riled up over, why are they saying that? That's not right. It isn't a question of whether it's true or not. It's just like, why would you do that? And they said, right. And then they would say, oh, Richard, you're so naive. It's just politics. They don't mean those words. I says, and so as I've grown and learned and educated myself, I begin to realize they did mean those words because their intent, they have an intent with everything they're doing in the campaign. What's the intent? To get into that office.
Yeah.
And in many cases, by any means necessary, to convince, cajole, coerce, confuse the voter to vote for them so that they can now have the power, the control, and all, and the esteem that that office holds.
Sure, yeah.
And so I say, no, it's not just word. That's not just politics. Those are words that one day, and we've seen politicians where this has happened to, one day it will come back to haunt you, if you will, the whole karmic debt, so to speak.
I think it's a really interesting opportunity that we're presented with when we hear somebody, for example, a politician speaking in that manner and sharing words that we don't resonate with and that we might react to very harshly. For example, maybe those words will make us angry. You know, we might say, you know, what are you talking about? I can't believe you said that. And I think it's a really wonderful opportunity to actually choose to stay connected to the peace and the love that's within ourselves, and furthermore, to move towards taking action in the world through that peace and the love in a way that we can. Because I don't know about you, but I found it's kind of like a waste of energy to sit in front of the TV and to, you know, to become angry or to judge and complain. But if I can stay connected to the truth within me and move forward from that space and just do my best to contribute in the world in the way that I can, that feels good.
Oh, absolutely.
Rather than being in judgment over what somebody else is saying. That's kind of like, from my experience, a waste of energy, you know?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I try not to get too high up on my horse, so to speak, when talking about this stuff, but I've had to be careful. Now, it's one thing when I'm with my wife, she's with me, and we're saying the things that we're saying, and we're venting. We're trying to release the energy, you know, in a dyad, if you will, just the two of us. And I would never say this to that person, but man, I just want to say da 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 da. And you let that go in a process of venting. The intent is different in that situation than if I was actually confronting that person and saying those same things.
Right.
So I'm thinking, you know, that's not a bad. If you have a sounding board, someone that you can sound off to, so much the better. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your upbringing and the philosophy or philosophical place that you come from as you were raised in this world.
That's a great question. I had a bar mitzvah when I was 13. And I remember I was very short for my age, so I had to stand on a milk crate to see over the little podium. we lit candles for Hanukkah, and I enjoyed getting Hanukkah presents. But I was never my parents were not religious. And to be honest, either they didn't really have much of a philosophy in terms of spirituality, and if they did, it was not really shared with me. So I was pretty much just kind of left to my own devices to figure it out on my own. And luckily along the way, beginning in my early 20s, I began to meet a lot of different spiritual teachers who just kind of all contributed to who I am today. So in a way, I feel blessed that I was kind of left to my own devices to discover my own path rather than being given one, if that makes sense to you.
Well, it does, because the same thing happened to me, not the bar mitzvah and what have you. I was born and raised Catholic.
Right.
But on my when I was 16, I was delivering newspapers, and Sunday morning comes around, and I'm delivering the morning papers. I come home, get back into bed, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock rolls around. Okay, Richard, time to get up and go to Mass. And I said, I don't want to go. And she said, okay. And years later, in my 20s, I asked her why she did that. She says, I didn't want you to push away from the church. Now, I'm not a practicing Catholic anymore. But what she was basically saying was, in essence, find your own way.
Yeah.
But don't reject something. And I did not.
Yeah.
It goes back to the...
Leave space for everything.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the Baha'is basically teach that if you accept the one messenger of God, you accept them all. If you reject one, you reject them all. It's astounding.
Is any teaching, be it associated with the religion or not, any teaching that helps you discover the truth that's within yourself and helps you to strengthen your connection to your God self and who it is you are is good.
Absolutely. We are talking with Darren Mark. He's the author of Create Your Dream Life Now. It's a, pardon me, a workbook and a guide for manifesting your destiny. It gets me all choked up, folks. It's amazing stuff. The life of your dreams is waiting for you. You know, it's interesting when we even talk about the concept, getting into, I don't know if this is quantum physics or what realm this is, or science fiction. We talk about how some folks believe that we're actually living multiple lives at the same time in different dimensions, on different levels and so forth. And it's only where our consciousness chooses to go. Sometimes in our dreams, we'll be in one of those other lives and so forth.
I agree with that statement.
You know, and so I'm thinking, okay, well, it's in this lifetime, it's where we live.
Yep.
It's where our focus is at this point in time, in this now moment, speaking of mindfulness. And so, you know, and now I know that this is a little different than what you're talking about in terms of dreams, but I got to tell you, I'm 58.
Right.
And if today were my day to transition, as much as I would love to continue moving forward and lots of stuff I still want to do, right?
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm good to go.
That's awesome.
You know, plus the fact that that whole aspect has always intrigued me. What people experience immediately following. And I've done interviews with not only people who have had near-death experiences, but also organizations who study this. They also study another, I'll call it phenomenon, called life between lives.
Right.
That transition point between the two lives on this particular plane. But, you know, I think it's interesting, too, that we, you know, if in fact there are these other dimensions on which we live, these multiple timelines, if you will, we never know what choices we're making and how they're going to cause those lines to shift, you know, the path, if you will. Mm-hmm. What was it yesterday? I made a choice. I made a decision. And I could have turned left. I could have turned right. And I turned left, and I went that way. Now, I don't know what was down the right path, and I probably never will. But is this part of the process that we need to sort of embrace about bravely, if you will, and consciously, maybe even more so intuitively, starting to make the kinds of choices that our higher self is guiding us to?
Yeah, well, certainly I can tell you that in my own life, as I've moved forward on my spiritual path, intuition, or what you might call listening to my higher self, has become just such an integral part in my life. It's kind of the complete opposite of how I used to go about life when I was younger, which was just struggling over every little decision from my ego. You know, should I do this? Should I do that? And then I would just struggle for days or weeks or months trying to make a decision. But I think one of the greatest benefits of a spiritual practice, and in particular a practice of meditation, is that when we still our minds, we enter into a state of receptivity. And I think how we each receive as individuals is very unique, but I really think that we all have the capacity to receive in a way from our higher selves that can guide us forward in a more harmonious way, so that we are making decisions that are taking us towards higher possibilities and more growth. Maybe you've experienced the same in your own life.
Well, I know that through certain experiences, yes, including the one with the automobile.
Yeah.
And you know, I also experienced the same kind of emotions at the loss, at the departure of that vehicle. I mean, I turned the vehicle over to a gentleman who is going to tow it to the scrapyard to make the determination where it's going to be assessed.
Right.
Where they're going to make the determination as to whether or not it's going to be a total loss or if they're going to repair it. And I have similar emotions to when my dog, we had to put my dog down. And I had to say goodbye to her after 16 years.
Well, I think it's very, very natural, you know, no matter how spiritual you are, I think it's just natural to grieve, you know, when we're experiencing loss. I know for myself personally that it's good to just allow yourself to feel whatever it is you're feeling in the moment, but also just to really allow the emotion to flow through you, kind of like a river, you know, so that you're not holding on to it, so that you can return to what I think of as your natural state of being, you know, which is happy and joyful rather quickly. But I think sometimes the only way to get there is to just to allow whatever it is you're feeling to flow through you. So I say if you need a good cry because your car is leaving, you go for it.
And people may think, well, I know that some folks, they have the same kind of emotional attachment to their vehicle. In our case, it's because of the journey it's taken us on since we've been in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we took a 1,000-mile trip north to Yosemite and to Nevada City in the during Christmas 2016. And that was one of the most enjoyable vacations that I have ever had. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. And I'm looking forward to doing that again. But again, this opportunity that we're being given, possibly, to then turn around and say, okay, that was wonderful, and that was a stepping stone.
Right.
Now we're going to get to buy, we had the opportunity to buy a truck that we'll be able to use to haul a travel trailer, that we'll be able to use to not only go camping, but do some traveling and take this show on the road, which is another one of my dreams, to take this show on the road across the country, if not around the world, interviewing people such as yourself who are trying to make this world a better place.
And you know what's great, Richard? Now that you're going to have a much bigger vehicle, I can come along with you.
There you Well, I don't have
friends.
We can split the driving. We can split the driving. That'd be a good thing because
you can drive. I'll just relax in the back.
Oh, okay, fine. We can work that out. We'll work that out. That would be a lot of fun.
Play my guitar and meditate.
Oh, wonderful! Now, so you have music too. You are a musician.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Tell me how that came about.
Of course. Well, actually, it's a good story of how it came about. When I was a young lad. Maybe around 13 or 14, I was already doing a lot of singing. And so I was in my junior high school chorus class. And a person who was 1 year younger than me used to sit at the piano before the chorus teacher showed up playing show tunes. And all the girls would gather around him and they'd all be impressed. And I went home one day and I said, Mom, I need to learn how to play piano.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the time, my motivation might have been a little off. But long story short, as I began taking piano lessons, I began writing pop songs. Then I began performing with a band. Then I began taking guitar lessons and began writing songs on guitar. And I was primarily writing, recording, and performing pop music for... Well, let's see, I'm 44 now, so I was primarily writing, performing, and recording pop music, I would say until my mid-30s, and that's really when I immersed myself in the practice of yoga, and in particular bhakti yoga, which is the practice from which kirtan comes from, which is the call and response singing of mantra music. And so now what I do is I kind of integrate my background as a singer-songwriter with my love for bhakti yoga and kirtan, And I lead a lot of call and response singing events at yoga studios. And I also lead cacao ceremonies that have kirtan. And so music is just a huge part of my life, and I love it.
Mm. Well, we share up to a point that love of music. I have always enjoyed it, listening to it as a kid. Got my first transistor radio for Christmas. I still remember that I used to stick it under my pillow, turn the volume way down, and listen to what was going on all night long. Of course, that was subconsciously because I would fall asleep.
Right.
I was also in the high school madrigals group and also joined, and unbeknownst to me, my father was also a member thereof, not of this group, but anyway, he was also a member of a quartet in his day. I did not know that. Barbershop quartet. And I became a member locally of a barbershop quartet a few years back, and the chorus that was a part of that as well. And had just a fabulous time. And what a difference when you are coordinating and synchronizing with three other guys and trying to hit those harmonious tones that just ring in your ear. Talk about, you know, learning the real, in my perspective, the real key to really transforming community by that level of collaboration and cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think what I've discovered, you know, as I've moved forward on my path is that I've discovered a lacking of that community in my own life. And that's what's led me to the music offerings that I now offer, because they really give me that sense of community and coming together, that sense of oneness. Which I really enjoy.
And we need that. We absolutely need that.
That's what we need more than anything, is just to really come together in community and know that none of us are alone, even though sometimes we might feel alone. Sometimes we might feel a little isolated and separate, but coming together in community in that way is really powerful, really supportive, really nurturing.
Absolutely. Darren Marks, my guest, Create Your Dream Life Now. It is a workbook and guide for manifesting your destiny, because the life of your dreams is waiting for you. Get out there and make it happen. You can do it. It doesn't take much. It really doesn't. Are you in a place now in your life, in your 40s, which, by the way, I vaguely remember mine, where you can say that though we always have new dreams, because when one is fulfilled, another one seems to pop up, which is a great thing, but where you've had a lot of your own dreams fulfilled and you just kind of look back, you look at that and you just marvel and just sit back and go and sort of celebrate that.
Hmm. That's a great question. To be honest, Richard, I need to do more of it.
Aha!
So you caught me. Because certainly, and I think this is just the habit of all of us, is to constantly be, you know, moving in a forward direction. But, you know, it's so important for all of us just to sit back and to take time to reflect upon what we have accomplished, which is a lot more than we probably think. You know, we forget about all the little interactions that we have with people every day that touch the hearts and souls of people, mm-hmm. such as your interaction recently.
Yeah.
With your car adventure.
Yeah. It is one of those other things that, I have trouble. I used to love crowds. I used to love going to the mall when I was living in Phoenix and weaving through the holiday shoppers, or any time of the year for that matter, because there was a certain challenge to it. And now I don't like anybody in front of me or behind me, because I don't know what the hell they're going to do. And considering now that I only have vision in one eye, it makes it doubly a challenge when someone comes up on my left side. But, you know, I deal with that. I love walking State Street. And I love the fact that I can actually walk from where I'm sitting right now to the beach in 20 minutes, whereas when I was living in Phoenix, that'd take me 20 days. Talk to us about bhakti yoga and the five ways that we can practice it.
Yeah, of course. Well, essentially, bhakti yoga is translated as the yoga of love and devotion. And what's so beautiful about the practice of bhakti is that we get to be in a relationship with the divine. And we get to choose how to relate to the divine in that relationship. The divine can be a parent, it can be a child, it can be a friend. And in the practice of bhakti yoga, we simply express the love that is in our hearts. And that love might be gratitude, it might be prayer, it might be praise. And by doing that, we actually somehow move even deeper into our hearts. And so the integration of the practice of bhakti with my love for music has just been such a gift in my life. And so if you're out there and you enjoy music and you enjoy spirituality, then I highly encourage you to check out a kirtan and to sing to the divine and to really enjoy that practice of bhakti.
I tell you, the internet has made it so much easier because there's all kinds of stuff on YouTube that you can call up and do just that. Talk to us also from your perspective about pranayama.
I love the way you pronounced it. So I will tell you this, is that perhaps you've discovered this also as we've moved into our middle age, mm-hmm. ages, right?
Right.
Is that for me, exercise comes now with the intention of moving energy. And what I've discovered is the best way to do that is through a really deep three-part breath, inhaling into the belly, into the rib cage, into the chest with a nice, slow, steady, deep exhale. And that's how I energize my body. And that's why I love the practice of yoga, is because when we synchronize breath and movement, we naturally slow the breath down. It becomes nice and deep. And we're actually pranifying ourselves. We are giving ourselves more prana through our breath. And thus we're healing ourselves. And so really, that's really my main pranayama practice these days, is just breathing really deeply. That's it. And I offer some other ones in my book as well that can be fruitful as well. But for me right now, it's just breathing nice and deeply. And I do that through the practice of hatha yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you that I think that this is something that would behoove everyone. And, you know, even if you feel like you're on your path, you're on your way, I think it'll be a lot of fun just to go through it and read it. I'm curious also, because I ask this of my guests often, and again, I know it's a workbook, so this makes it somewhat problematic. Is this available yet in any form Audible?
It is not available in an Audible form yet, but I will certainly keep you and readers updated, and I will make an announcement on my website if and when it is available as an Audible book.
Fantastic. Darren, Mark, thank you so much for joining us here on the program. This has been fascinating. And since you are here in Santa Barbara, and I should have maybe made it mandatory that we do this in studio, because you're not that far away. Besides,
no.
I have a digital recorder. I could come to you for that matter.
Right.
This has been fun. I've really enjoyed this, and I look forward to us getting together in the not too distant future to talk further and to share with our listeners about this whole aspect of basically creating a world for ourselves as individuals, but at the same time that will also help to create a world for others that not only is meaningful, but that is supportive of all people, not just a select few. I mean, there are 7.6 billion people on the planet. Everybody should be able to do this.
Yeah, and I think just to sum things up, I think the number one practice is meditation, and really, really connecting to that inner peace and the light that is within you. And from there, everything just flourishes. Once you connect to that, once you discover that within yourself, everything else flourishes. And it takes takes devotion to retreat and to step back from the world, you know, for 20 minutes twice a day and to really give yourself that sacred time. But it's incredibly valuable and so fruitful.
And some people may think, hey, I don't have the discipline for that. Let me ask you the question then. If you don't have the discipline for that, do you get up every morning to go to work? Do you brush your teeth? Do you shower? Do you get dressed? Do you do these things on a regular? Do you stop at the local Starbucks to grab your cup of coffee? You are disciplined enough to do those things, so it is possible to incorporate the discipline of meditating 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever works for you to move forward.
So, and you know what I say, Richard, is I say that that act of devoting to a daily practice, it will change your life so that everything you do in your life, your experience of it changes. So for me, there's no practice that's more valuable than meditation.
Yeah. And the first time you do it isn't going to be the same as the second and the third.
By sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Again, I thank you so much for joining us. And before we let you go, email address, not email address, but the website that we want to send people to, of course, is awakenwithdarren.com. Awakenwithdarren.com will be linked to your website as well. And before we let you go, I'll let our listeners know, too, that you'll be able to hear this interview in its entirety if you go to the podcasts on SoundCloud, iTunes, the radio shows page of the program. If you'd like to support this broadcast, there's PayPal link at the radio shows page, actually the homepage and the missions page to support what we're doing here. We are not for profit, if anything, but we are not nonprofit. We are not nonprofit, so I don't get in trouble with the IRS. But we're always looking for some kind of support for the broadcast to keep it going. And as long as I can keep it going, it will. And when I can't, then it won't. But we're doing really good right now. So I'm thankful to everybody who's contributed and supported the work that we're doing. If this is resonates with you, please do what you can. We'll even take energetic support, folks. All that is definitely helpful. Darren, before we let you go, three final questions. And then, again, thank you so much for giving us so much time. First question is, who is Darren Mark?
That's such a good question. Darren Mark is a multi-dimensional being beyond space and time who happens to be labeled Darren Mark in this particular moment.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
That's another great question. Very simply, I just want to touch the hearts and souls of as many people as possible and to really help people find more peace and happiness in their lives.
And what is your life's purpose?
My life's purpose is to share my gifts with the world and to help people discover who they are and to discover that inner light that's within them.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Darren Mark, thank you once again for joining us. AwakenWithDarrenMark.com is the website. Create Your Dream Life Now, a workbook and guide for manifesting your destiny. And we will be in touch locally. We'll get together, I'm sure, in the not-too-distant future over coffee or something and chat further. And then, of course, have you in studio to talk further about this because you can never talk enough about it and encourage people to get in touch with you through your website as well.
Awesome. You're going to leave me thinking about that first question. Who is Darren Mark, Richard? It was a good question.
Well, I'm glad of that. And I hope that maybe when we do get together, you will have a greater answer for that. Not that the answer you gave wasn't good.
Answer.
What's that?
I'll have a well thought out answer.
Very good. Well, yeah. Darren, thank you again for joining us here on the program. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal and Makushla.